Spirit, spirit, curious. 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 Hello and welcome to Spiritorious Podcast, everybody.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Spiritorious Podcast is the podcast who we are very curious about everything in life, about mysticism, spirituality, and yeah, well, all things that you can't really see, but you can feel. Isn't that right, Emma?
Yes, it's all about exploring.
Yes, it's all about exploring, and together with the two of us, and we are two sisters exploring the world together. My name is Josefina.
And my name is Emma.
And we truly hope that you enjoyed last week's episode where we had the 2023 astrology forecast with Margareta. It feels like this is a year, it's a much nicer year. The energies are easier and it's like, it just feels beautiful and prosperous. So I just feel that we have a wonderful year ahead of us. Don't you think, Emma?
I certainly agree. And everybody around me say, this is the year, 2023, yeah. This is the year, it will happen. It's a magical year. It's a year of elevation, upgrade.
Up-leveling. Yes. And to follow up on last week's astrology forecast, this week we have a numerology forecast with our amazing guest, Remington Donovan, who's back on the podcast for the second time. And if you want to look back and listen to the last episode with Remington, you can have a look at episode 6, where he also shares a lot about numerology and his own story. So please listen into that episode if you haven't already listened to it. And there he also talks a lot about his book, Numerology, A Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Meaning of Numbers, which is a very good numerology book, in my opinion. But today we will dive deep into the year 2023 and the number 7, because 2023 will be, or already is, a 7 year. Yes. And as you will hear Remington say, this really is the year of elevation, the year of prosperity and victory. So, I mean, this is the year.
Yeah, it seems like we can expect a prosperous upgrade of everything in our lives.
Yes.
Can't wait.
No, can't wait. It's I just feel that this will be a lovely year, especially when we've had a couple of years that have been a little bit rough. So I feel like humanity needs a nice year.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and Remington, I just want to quickly introduce him to you again. He's a teacher. He's a mystic. He is trained in the spiritual wisdom of the ancients. And he was literally born into the traditions of mysticism, spirituality, and meditation. And he has now over 30 years of experience practicing with tarot and numerology. So, well, he is a true expert in our opinion. And you will hear that because this episode is packed with information. And he's also giving us some magical teachings along with the numerology teachings, because everything is connected, as you all know. And towards the end of the episode, he will also give some tarot cards to especially look into for this year. So, no, I don't think we should say that much more, Emma, because this is such a wonderful and beautiful episode with so much information. So just grab pen and paper and just enjoy Remington's wisdom. Yes. And finally, I also just wanted to mention that he also has a forthcoming book, Prosperity Practices, Harnessing the Power of Positive Thinking to Get the Life You Want. And that will be released in May 2023. And we will actually have him back on the podcast to talk about prosperity and abundance and money. So that will be really exciting. But now we just want to welcome Remington Donovan. Enjoy, everybody, and happy 7 year.
Yay.
Welcome to Spiritorious Podcast, Remington Donovan.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on this again. I love when I have the opportunity of like an annual spot. I'm also plugging myself for next year, especially with the change of the numerology for each year. Mm-hmm. So happy new year, everybody.
Happy new year.
Happy new year.
We are so happy to have you here. And we are so grateful to be able to talk to you this early of the year so we can, you know, immediately receive all of these new energies for this 7 year that we have ahead of us. We just thought we could jump straight in and maybe just talk a little bit about the 6 year and just close off the 6 year, because last year was a 6 year and now we have a 7 year. So, but maybe you could just quickly explain how you figure out which number it is for the year.
Yeah, so it's really simple. And I think it's funny because I'll encounter people like numerology is a science and everything. It literally is 2022 is a 6 year because you just add up the numbers. So it's 2 + 2 + 2 = 6. And 2023 is 2 + 2 + 3. So that when you add that up, it equals 7. And that's the number. Now, in the system of numerology that I use, well, you can go deeper and all numbers are valid. So if you have a number, you know, 728 means something. But often we will, especially when I do a chart, I take the number, like your birthday, and then I reduce it to a single digit. Unless, of course, if it's in this system, 10 or 11, we keep. So even for personal, like we were talking, like the soul number, like I'm a soul number 10, not a 1, because my birthday is on the 28th. So it's 2 + 8 = 10, and I leave it. But if my wife is born on the 25th, it's 2 + 5, you reduce it to 7. So that's just really simple how you get to the number of the year or a lot of other numerology. So you just add it and reduce it. Spiritorious. The sequence of numbers, as you start to utilize the lessons of each number for each year, you start to see how the pattern flows that 1 year builds up into what we're supposed to do into the next year. Mm-hmm. So part of me is already thinking about 2024, which is an 8 year, and we're like a 2 days or whatever into the new year of 2023. But the 6 energy, which was last year, 2022, it's a person of prayer. So it's an energy of being very dedicated to your connection to your sort of infinite source and your divine self. And it's a very orderly frequency. It's diligent. So it's, you know, it's a great year to just show up and do a little bit of something every day. You know, it was also a good year to even spend time with yourself, things like that. But the overall big message, at least my takeaway with the 6 energy and 6 year, was this was a time and an opportunity, because the meditative and prayerful meditation of that energy allowed us to have more access and more knowledge of kind of who we are, our higher purpose. That's why I often call 6 a number of destiny. And it is considered the union of like macrocosm and microcosm. So, you know, it's whatever. It's God and human. It's the universe and human. All of that's coming together. Mm. And in Kabbalah, the spiritual teaching, the spiritual experience is knowledge and conversation with your holy guardian angel. And that is essentially the highest part of you that knows who you are and is you being you, and will help guide you on the right course of like, what was I born to do? What I did notice is a lot of people made the mistake that they didn't listen and to hear it's the knowledge and conversation. So you may know, and you can communicate, right? You may get your assignments, if you will. That's kind of sometimes how I think of it, but you got to do it. And so it was kind of a setup to say, to get clarity on a deeper aspect of ourselves. And then the 7 year, seven in Kabbalah is considered beauty triumphant. It is Netzach in the tree, and it is the energy of victory. So now we can really kind of quote cash in. Mm-hmm. So this is a year, even though the energy is soft, it's a little more relaxed. You can make it very delightful and properly indulgent. You know, the warning that you chose to ignore, I know you're kind of joking about it, is overindulgence and overdoing it. Mm-hmm. But this means, if in context of like, what's your purpose in life? When you have more knowledge of that, it's easy to go do it. And now in the 7 year, where everything can be a little bit easier, nicer things can be had, that clarity of the six was meant to help you kind of clear through all the things that really don't serve a purpose for you. The seven is like, it's all of these worldly and earthly delights. It's sensual delights. It's like every day could be this really nice, good vibe day, if you will. As we'd say in LA, everything was a good vibe. But, you know, you can get lost in that, right? You can sort of just get lost in the fog of, oh, this looks good, that looks good, because you're always looking outside of yourself. The sixth energy was like the deeper lessons of really looking within to that infinite source. The seven, we're kind of noticing what's around us more, and we can pick and choose. And so we have a lot to gather, a lot to harvest. So it's good to have the caliber of what's right for you. And this is the year that a lot of the really literally the upgrades to our life. And when they're in alignment with who we are, the six was like a good setup. The seven, we get to indulge in it a little more. And then literally moving into the 8 year, just to get a little ahead, that is just the raw energy. So you're going to be given a lot of just life force and a lot of ability in the 8 year. So we can like take everything that we collect this year and really put things even into more action. Wow. But this would be a year of a little bit being maybe a little more receptive. Mm-hmm. And then it's a year to be really giving to others in the sense of let's uplift not only our lives, but let's make life nicer for those around us. Like, so it really is like the energy of a nice, sweet life. It's nicer objects, sure, but it's nice to wake up every day feeling better, to feel a little more at peace, to feel a little more relaxed, and to be like, you know, to love your partner that much more, or if you have kids or family. And it's a great time. It's a great time for family, it's a great time for friends, and it's a great time to you know, it's seven is the platform of elevation. So
I love elevate. That expression. It's a platform.
I really love that too, because it's so aligned with even the planetary aspect, which is Venus. Is going to make your life a lot nicer. Mm. And I think a lot of, you know, the shadow side or the deficient side, if you will, of that energy is going to be scarcity, right? Like Venus is all like, hey, my life is nice. I've sort of spruced everything up. I have nice flowers. I said in the workshop too, one of the things you could do is like, you know, try to have a rose on your altar space. That's the magical practice. But, you know, we could just, it's a great year to kind of always have a little, some fresh flowers or something that delights the senses. Mm. But so it's opulent, right? It can be kind of rich, but the opposite of that is going to be depravity, scarcity, poverty. Those are deep lessons of Venus. And all of that, Venus is the number seven, so those of you listening, just so you follow along. or the number seven is attributed to Venus. Like when I, and it's the color green, it's all the same to me. But, you know, that it all comes through self-worth and self-value. So like it's that shadow is where people kind of under-earn. A lot of people under-earn, whether it's in dollar, whether it's in relationships, whether it's just how they live their life. And seven, this is the year of victory and to kind of just live our life to the fullest. Like, let's have nice lives this year. And we can really, the transitional energy in the tarot, when you, it on the tree of life, which is what I use for mystical Kabbalah, when you're going from the energy of six to seven, it's actually the death card of the tarot. So that's a clue that say that we can really transform. We can sort of let bygones be bygones. There's an opportunity to really kind of cleanse and heal emotionally. So if you're holding on to your whether it's resentment, your own pride, your own false idea of you, whatever it is, it's an easier time to just say, you know what, I'm going to move out of that energy. I'm going to move out of that deficient energy. I'm going to move out of poverty. Whether it's money poverty, whether it's emotion, a lot of people are just emotionally poor.
Yeah.
I think we all know people, they're not worried about, paying their mortgage or going on vacation, but there's something empty.
Yeah.
And this is meant to be a year of fulfillment. But the idea is that it should be the ultimate fulfillment is going to be anything that's aligned with you and your higher purpose and your higher soul. And that could be as small as a nice plant. Yeah. And that could be as big as, if you're single, meeting your soulmate and starting the family that you've always wanted, right? Mm-hmm. So, that's where it becomes personal. But it's just, it's like, I think we should keep it simple on one level. It's just meant to be a really nice time.
Yeah, and that sounds so lovely. And I feel when me and Emma talked about, the difference between the 6 year and the 7 year. So when we, in the 6 year, we felt that, for example, we started Spiritorious podcast because we were so, this is our destiny path, we feel. We, to work together and to develop and to up level Spiritorious is what we want to do, and this is what we want to put out in the world and how we want to help and serve people. And we feel like then we found that in and started that in the 6 year, and now in the 7 year, my thought is then that we will elevate Spiritorious and we will keep on building on that which we found and which we really felt is our destiny last year.
I think that's a perfect plan. And also, if you think about what is lesson seven, all this elevation, but it's Venus is things like image, beauty, fashion. So it's like putting it out there. It's about a little bit showing off, but it can be done in a very sweet and humble way, right? Even in the work, I kept talking about how it's this energy to polish something, to sparkle. Yeah. So like, this is a great year for you guys to also give things to the world that are like helping. Like it's seven wants to help. People that have seven in their numerology love to help others and really care for others. And I see it because my wife, her soul number in numerology is a seven.
Oh, wow.
And the soul number is like kind of the essence of you. And that number is based on the day you were born. So she's born on the 25th. So she has a soul of seven.
Yeah.
I'm born on the 28th. I have a soul of 10. But the soul number gives us a clue as to where we feel fulfilled, and it's kind of our sweet spot of like, oh, this is what I should be doing. And I see sevens and they just love to help. They love to make like, how do I help improve everything? Mm-hmm. So it's also a good year for improvement. So sharing things that help improve people's lives, which is what the work you're doing in this podcast, happen to do it through conversations and media. You know, I do it through teaching and media. Other people might be their own healers or something. Maybe you're a hairstylist. You're making people's lives nicer. Like, so it's just, where can we like love each other more and elevate and encourage each other? So it's definitely a year to let go of being critical, let go of being controlling. I'm saying that to myself as well. I get critical first and foremost of myself, right? So where you're sort of beating yourself down, doubting yourself, critical, I could have, should have done this.
Yeah.
This is the year, like, why don't you just, for the 4 year was a year to forgive. But this, because we should have worked that out. So by the time we get to the 7 energy, we can really enjoy it. So it's, you can forgive anytime, but it's like, it's all of those energies. But imagine on a global level, people could be a lot nicer.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, when I think of Sweden, well, Gina does not feel, she spent a lot of time, my wife spent a lot of time in Sweden.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's not unfriendly, but everyone seems like they keep to themselves. But,
but that's, I don't, I that's have, actually only... true, I think. It's, we are a little bit, like afraid of strangers, and everyone is like minding their own business, especially in Stockholm. I'm not sure if it was in Stockholm she was, but
Stockholm, that's her main,
So I can feel
she worked for a big, probably kind of famous Swedish director. Noticed this, there's like, if you're famous in Sweden, everybody knows who you are.
That's true. Also,
she told me,
we're not
the
that
first
many
time...
people here, so we keep track of our celebrities.
I live in America, and it's just freaking weird. Like, there's so much division at the moment.
Yeah.
So much anger. Like, all the insanity. Like, this is a year where a lot of that can come to an end.
That's promising.
I just think, my hope is for the planet is everybody starts putting, everybody's resentments and anger and hatred of each other on some level. I know I'm dreaming big. And I'm not delusional about it, but in our, like, it can be a time that everything, we're nicer to each other. So I think our role is we need to carry that out to the world in our own little way, you know? Spiritorious.
Before we started recording, I mentioned to you that I joined your workshop because you have your own 7-year workshop, which we can recommend that everyone, I think you can still purchase it, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. This information, I mean, sure, it's like really valid throughout the whole year, but also we deal with 7 every single day of our lives, no matter what year it is.
Exactly.
So I go deeper into these teachings and other numbers. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's very valid.
It's yes. And you mentioned in that workshop that this is, which I loved because I don't, as I mentioned to you also, I remember the good stuff only about the 7. So I remember one of the things that I remember the most was you mentioning that this could be the year for you. Yep. It's like, this could be your big year. And I love that so much. And to have that, and to also connect that to the mantra, you can call it a mantra or just a word, but it's to victory, which also 7 is, very closely connected to.
Yeah, well, on the tree of life, 7, the 7th Sephiroth is called Netzach. That's the Hebrew word that literally translates as victory.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Kundalini yoga, for example, victory is, the English word victory is considered a sacred mantra.
Mm-hmm.
I did put that in my prosperity book, which I'm super excited that I call 7, one, it's elevation, but it's also the number of prosperity.
Oh, yes.
And I love that my prosperity practices book comes out during the 7 year.
You talk a lot about that 7 is connected to prosperity, and then you could and because we are also Kundalini yoga teachers, and I mean the mantra victory is really, really, it's very simple, but it's very efficient.
And I've used it for so many opportunities, especially when I've been in some sort of negotiation for something. I wanted a goal, like I would just kind of say it over and over in my head. But this is the year of victory. This is a year of prosperity. Mm. And also when I say this could be your year, it's more about like having the nice life that we all want.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's less of an energy of like big, bold, like I'm a superstar. Like that'll be in a 10 year, for example. But the 7 is like, this is the sweet, loving, fulfilling life that at the end of the day, I feel like that's probably what we all want.
Mm. Exactly. And I feel it's so aligned to all the, as always, but to the astrology of the year, as you know, this is a Venus year and we have Jupiter going into Taurus in May.
Yeah,
and
May.
Taurus
yeah.
is a Venus ruled sign. So, and Taurus is also all about, you know, the sweetness in life and the juiciness and the, you know, the good food. And it's like having a nice life.
the finer things.
Yeah.
The one thing I do want to say, and I'm probably going to do a little a workshop on that. And now also there's a comet, that a recently discovered comet. February 2nd is a very important day in magic. And I talked about it in the workshop because I sort of said that was about the sprout. And it's like this little day of hope. Like we're not quite into the spring, but it's a reminder of like, oh, things are opening up. Like, but there's a comet. After the workshop, a friend of ours who took it sent me on February 2nd, there's this newly discovered comet that will probably never come again. That is coming, the closest to Earth it will be is on that day.
Wow.
And I started to break down the numerology of it. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to do a whole pop-up workshop here. But that's on a side note. That's going to be an important day, February 2nd. The Jupiter in Taurus in May during Taurus season, Jupiter is like this notion of very big blessings, right? It's the universe working in all of its beneficence and its highest compassion to try to have things work out for you. And Taurus and its good side is like prosperity in the sense of like actual tangible assets, like property, like having a nice place to live, having enough money. It's security. It's creating that security. Now, I do want to, I'm going to give a warning. You don't have to listen.
I would just forget it. So,
well, on a side note, I have said a few times, and I want to say it here. Overall, in the 7-year energy, you don't have to stress out about the bad stuff. The idea is just keep adding more good things to your life.
Yeah.
The rest of the stuff. So if you're all worried, like you're trying to quit cigarettes and you're like, I'm a horrible person. Like, I understand quitting cigarettes is very challenging, but just start adding some healthier things. So the more you add good stuff to your life, it starts to just supersede. It just overshadows. And the bad, quote, bad stuff just falls away. But Jupiter, because it's so kind and loving and beneficent, it'll just add more to whatever you're doing. It's not judging you. And so my joke is Taurus also loves good food and the finer things of life. I was like, oh, what a great time to get. A lot of people are going to get super fat and lazy because like things like show up, right? Jupiter. But, you know, so if you're being like overly indulgent, the Jupiter, next thing you know, you're like, oh, I just bought a Rolls Royce and I, you know, a 100 pounds of caviar or something, gold plated caviar. Now, that's like I'm spoofing a little bit, but really that is going to be such an opportunity this year if you're having concerns, financial concerns, all of that, like that's going to be the time to really push. Like if you have a business to move forward, great time to ask for a raise at your job. This is a really good year to get a raise, because the deeper lesson of Taurus is all comes through self-worth, and it's creating prosperity based on your talents. And it is in this seven Venus energy, when you value yourself and you see, you kind of learn what you like, you can do what you love to do. And if you're not doing what you love, the teaching and magic is just start loving what you do, change the energy. And when you do that, you may have a job digging ditches and you're like, oh, this is horrible. Or you may have a job digging ditches and love it. Actually, to me, digging ditches with machinery looks really fun. I'm like, wait, that looks like that would be pretty cool. But the idea is, if you just fall in love with what you're doing and your life, you'll have the life you love. And then from that energy, the other things start showing up, and a clearer destiny and a higher purpose can come through. But if you're just showing up like bitter and like in just toiling to barely get by, which would be a real dark side of this Taurus ruled by Venus energy. Mm-hmm. So just be aware of that. So this is definitely a year to change that. So this is why I say, like, get a raise. So if you have your own business, you can make more money. If you have a job, like, assess how valuable you really are in that job and kind of go for it. You have a year to work it out.
So maybe then work on yourself, or work, but maybe that's the wrong word, but really focus on your self-worth.
A million and trillion
some,
percent.
Yeah, and do some practices around that. So you elevate yourself and feel love towards yourself and feel worthy, because that's a very big part of all prosperity practices and manifestation practices, is that you feel worthy. It's so important.
You know, those were huge lessons for me.
Yeah, me
you
too.
You know, part of it was like, I didn't even realize what I did or what I thought or what I said or what I was sharing had any value, like monetarily, for example. Yeah. And those were like lessons. And then also I just didn't value. And not like I defiled and disrespected. I just didn't, my thinking was too small. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think what I had was offering anything unique or, you know, any of that. And it took me some time to learn on one level, not just to value it, mm-hmm. and then how to monetize these skill sets.
Yeah.
And so this Venus Taurus dynamic, which is a big theme this year, it literally is monetizing what your skill sets, but Venus is what you love to do.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, start off loving whatever you're doing. And the things you love, they'll just start showing up.
Wonderful.
Like, bigger, better, nicer opportunity does not want to show up if you're bitter and you're just living in hardship. It's like you're just in a downward spiral there. But the first time, and I actually wrote this story in my prosperity book, about I had changed my rates for my one-on-one sessions, and I was getting very popular in LA, and celebrities were coming to me, all word of mouth. I've never advertised that service, never, like, it's just always I'd meet somebody, a dude, they would do a session and they'd recommend five people. And even then I was like, oh, am I doing, like, I worked with someone, they were like, you have this many people coming to you because of what you're offering is valuable, and you're not valuing yourself. So finally I changed my rates, and which was basically giving myself a raise. And I was petrified. I was petrified to tell the first person like what my new rate was going to be, which was double my old rate. And which was way too low, especially for Los Angeles. And you're dealing with celebrity clients. It's like, in a way, if you don't charge enough, people won't listen.
Exactly.
At the same time, there's always going to be some idiot and jerk out there who takes advantage of that. They don't really offer it. But like with a reading and these consultations, you have to charge enough where the person also values what they get way more out of it.
That's such a profound teaching, because that's so important. Because if you don't value yourself, they won't value yourself. So if you don't put enough value, if you don't put the right fee or what rate on your services, then, you know, they won't value it either. And
yeah, if I did like $20 readings, would I could give them the best, most accurate reading of soul enlightening suggestions here based on, and then they would value it at $20. I'd be like, all right. But I remember being so scared,
yeah,
because the person, it was text message, I didn't know them. They were also referred to me by someone that I know is very wealthy, mm-hmm. and they know each other because their kids went to like one of the fanciest schools of LA. Mm-hmm. Like every, you know, freaking A-lister sends their kids to the school. And here I am. It took me 20 minutes of like so scared when she said, oh, okay, like how much do you charge? Just so I know, like, do I bring a check, cash, mm-hmm. do you get a credit card? And I was paralyzed. I was paralyzed to value myself and to say it's this. And in my head, I was like, I'm going to tell her how much, but then immediately I'm going to say, but if you can't afford that, I'll work with you and we could do my old rate, or I'll even take a donation. Like part of me, I was so scared that I would offend somebody by sharing and giving myself a raise. And then I just said the rate. At that time it was 222, and I sent it off. And like, she immediately was like, oh, great, I'll see you Tuesday. And that changed my life. But I was so scared to confront.
How did you feel someone, when she just, okay, see you?
I my life changed. Like my whole heart expanded, and I was like, wait, that wasn't so hard. And I made it impossible.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and I've worked when I've been an employee,
mm-hmm.
I just never asked for raises because I would feel too uncomfortable.
Mm.
And I don't think I'm alone there.
No, definitely not. So I think this is so good that we're talking about this prosperity year, that you can feel like this. And I think many, many, many people feel like this, but just to dare to raise your own value and see what happens.
I mean, we all have like our own little, all of us as individuals have the ways that we have little issues and problems and concerns. But for me, that was a big one. And I realized so much of my life, I was under earning, I wasn't valuing. And I that was like, I remember I was sitting in a parking lot texting from my car, and I just, that being able to stand up for myself and say, no, this is my rate. What I also learned is, like, there's a teaching in yoga that says state your worth and that will be it.
Mm.
So then I realized, oh, I could have even quadrupled it, because then just those are the people that are going to show up.
Mm.
And it's not like overcharging, right? There's always some scam artist. I could try to sell this mug from Zabar's in New York City for, you know, $100,000 somehow. There's no value in that, right? Mm. Like, you got to understand, like, you know, I was smart about it, but for everyone listening, this is your year. If you have concerns or that's a struggle, this is your year to just sweetly and lovingly overcome that.
Mm.
And the first time you just either charge what you're worth or value yourself, or in a relationship, I mean, how many people, probably most of us at some point were like, you know, I knew I used to attract relationships where I wasn't valued as much because none of them worked out. You know, so it's like how you treat yourself in attracting a relationship or your friendships or family, the list goes on. But mm-hmm. money was the big one for me. Spiritorious.
Yeah, and I think so many feel like that. And we also here in Sweden, we've been talking about this, me and Emma, and, you know, we talk about it a lot in the spiritual community that we are very, you know, like, it's the Swedish word lagom. That means like not charge too much, you know, is everyone is like, so I think this is a big thing in for a lot of people here, not charging enough or not daring to charge anything at all for spiritual practices or services, because you feel like, so I think this is a very good teaching.
Yeah, I think you brought up a really good point, though. There's a lot of, because, and a lot of it is cultural, for sure.
Yes.
Because we also live in a culture that where, you know, success or money, it only comes through like super burdensome, super hard work. You know, I think this gets passed down through generations. A lot of my ancestors who emigrated to America, it's because their lives sucked. They weren't like, life is great here in Odessa. Like, let's just totally uproot our lives and move to a new country. Like, things weren't going well. And so that carries through. There's like a culture or lineage of poverty, and it's in your psyche that can carry through. This is the year to break that. I think charging for spirituality is challenging because there's so many cultures that you're not supposed to, in a way. But then, you know, in my magical tradition, there's a couple of teachings. One is, if you don't charge, and this relates to Kundalini yoga, like, everyone wants to, you know, people buy a fancy new car or great pair of shoes or whatever. But all of a sudden, when it comes to the things that really could shift your soul, people don't want to pay. And, you know, of course, there's always going to be some charlatan and some jerk who decides to charge some exorbitant amount of money, and they're frauds. But you know, even in Kundalini yoga, there's meant to be an exchange. So, and, you know, even with readings, that took me a while. I fell into that where it's like, well, I'm doing this, it's a service. But my old teacher said, you know, this, we live in different times now. It's not like when Nostradamus was roaming around teaching and sharing his healing techniques and his prophecies. You know, everyone took care of him.
Yeah,
we just don't live in that world. And to learning how to monetize things that are, quote, spiritual, it's tricky. But also what I was saying earlier, if you don't pay for those things, the magical teaching is, whatever money you put towards your spirituality, it comes back like infinite fold, really. Like, what's it worth? Spiritorious. I also try to offer enough free things in a podcast, you know, and like, there's all levels. The thing is, too, if I would do a session, I've done a session with somebody for $11.
Yeah.
I charge over $400. I've done sessions for a bag of coffee beans because that's all they had. And for that person, that exchange was a lot. That person that gave me $11, like, they were flat broke. Like, that was probably, could have been their lunch maybe for the day.
And it's also, it ties into the 7 year also, when you talk about this, because this is also the year to be of service to other people. And I know that you mentioned that in your workshop as well, that it's a good year to engage in, for example, in charity, and maybe do some, you know, like donation classes or whatever. So you can also, this energy of giving and helping others in an elevated way is also an energy of this year.
Absolutely. This is a great year to get involved with something like that, whatever it's in your community. I mean, there's so many ways to do that now. You know, certainly, you know, if you just, the main, what you're able to do is like donate a little money to something you believe in. But if you have the opportunity to really get involved, teach classes, do some that are just a little fundraiser, you know, even whatever, if it's, you know, even a few bucks, or somehow you raise $1 million, great. But it's just when you put that energy, you know, in magic, the teaching is too, when you make a donation, the idea is to, like, so to a cause you believe in, or, you know, maybe you're taking a donation yoga class, right? So that's something for your spiritual development, if you will. The idea is, you make a donation on what's right, like that you can afford, and then just up it a little bit to where it feels just a little uncomfortable. And that's like a good spot. That's the teaching and how to make a donation. Like, when I had no money, there was a, I got involved with Kundalini because there was a studio that was donation only, and I was living on like 200, not even 190 US dollars a week of unemployment, living in a city like Los Angeles, which is one of the most expensive cities in the world. And I managed to get by, but it was because somebody offered an early morning buy donation. For me, giving a dollar was like, it was actually a lot of money at that brief period in my life. So giving $2 was like, whoa, for me, like that was a lot. And also the teacher confided in me too, that there have been times where people showed up and gave $5,000 for a class. But that $2 was more than I was comfortable with. But now it's like, all of it turned into everything I do for a living and support a family and do like, so I just use that teaching. I gave a little more. That could literally be a dollar over your line. So I'm just saying that little donation where I've turned Kundalini and then all of this other stuff into my career. I feel like part of it was because I could barely afford a dollar and I gave $2. But the other, like my teacher Tej is like, you know, too, you don't want to, when you overdo it, you're not being of service when you're taking away from yourself. And that's one of the things that you have to consider with seven. It's so helpful and so nice. Be cognizant of where you're maybe overextending yourself because you want to help everybody. And then if you're trying to do that and then you're not doing anything for yourself, you're not helping anything. So that, you know, some people take it in that other extreme. You know, they give their last dollar away and then they can't eat.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very important teaching as well for this year. I had a question also, Remington, why this is a Venus year? How is Venus connected to the number seven?
So that's based on the tree of life and mystical Kabbalah, which is what I practice and utilize for kind of the foundation of numerology. And so the tree of life is its own little image, its own little glyph, and there's 10 numbers on there. And that like a little grid. And so the number seven in mystical Kabbalah happens to be attributed to the planet Venus. It actually in Kabbalah, we call it the mundane chakra. So it's something that's connected more to the earthly, mundane to the earthly realm. And that, so the earth is the physical manifested realm, not just planet Earth, like in astrology. So Venus. And so then Venus, if you're familiar with astrology or if you know mythology, what are the lessons? Venus is a goddess, but Venus is also the planet. And so you can take that as the first, like, where do we jump off? What are the lessons? But I attribute Venus. I also attribute it to the color green. So this is a great year to wear green, to have green. I don't know, I've been into candles lately. I usually will do the colors accordingly, so this will be a year I'll burn a lot more green candles. I need like a green sweater or something. This is blue, it's like a dark blue.
I have green on.
Having the yeah, I know, I love that you did that. But like plants, you know, Venus is green, and like green is sort of a archetype of prosperity. And you know, green is usually means prosperity.
Yeah,
but it's interesting too.
Prosperity. That's cool.
Well, and that's why I keep talking about it, because Venus is the nicer things, the finer things of life.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because what are the lessons of the other lessons of Venus are envy, meaning I'm comparing myself, I'm looking outside of myself and comparing myself to other people and making myself feel like a loser. Right, which comes down to that self-worth we were talking about.
Yes,
and kind of giving yourself a raise. So I think it's funny, when I started learning all the mystical Kabbalah, I'm like, oh, that saying, green with envy, which is a, I don't know if you guys say that.
Yes,
but
we
that's
do.
That's like, you're green with envy. You're like, that's the shadow side, the deficient side of Venus energy. And you're comparing yourself and you're looking outside of yourself. So like, it's interesting, as I learned a lot of this magic, how many sayings, you know, and I'm used to American sayings mostly, but I think a lot of them translate through Western cultures, and everybody in Europe basically speaks English now. But like, that's like a really good lesson. So green is prosperity. You know, America green really means money. Like the money, the cash money is green. So that's always in our culture, that's like a big, big color. It's the color of money, but it's the color of envy. So all things to can think about and consider how these sayings usually are rooted in something magical or a deeper spiritual teaching. And so we're not going to be envious this year. You're going to love yourself and do great.
Exactly. Don't compare yourself to others. Just, I think you said it so beautifully. Don't compare, create, don't compare, or something like that.
Well, that could be one. Yeah, don't compete, which is comparing.
Yeah.
You know, I love, you know, I don't know if you, like in Kundalini too, a lot, there's a lot of really smart business teachings. And one of which is that you're kind of already born as success. And, you know, the way you create something, whether it's in a business or the sort of bring your life forward, is kind of just start doing and sharing what you love and who you are. Even when I learned a teacher's training to like teach yoga classes, my teacher, this was like a much deeper point in relation to the frequency changes of now we're in quote the Aquarian time, the Aquarian age, is the lesson was, when you teach a class, why don't you just teach like a set or teach a set and meditations that you really love? And then the joke was, because this way at least one person is going to get something out of the class, and it's you. But the deeper teaching was that in this time now, if you just kind of share yourself, like whatever it is that you're doing, people will resonate with that. And for that time that they want to participate, they're just wanting to be a part of your journey because you're sharing what you really love. And that's so much of something we can gain and learn in this 7 year, is just start, like, you know, you can like think about how many I've like watched YouTube videos of things I never thought I was interested in, but like the person really loved what they were sharing. And for that 5 minutes of a video, I wanted to participate in that. So if you're trying to grow a business, there's a level of sincerity and authenticity, because there's only one you, there's only one me, there's only one Emma, there's only, and we have our own unique thing. And people will, your business will succeed if you're really that sincere. People just want to, I've literally started watching videos about chainsaw competition, cutting con. I never knew this existed. But, you know, like YouTube starts bringing you down a weird algorithm. I was like trying to research something about a wood stove. And then I'm like, wait, I was like, I loved it because these guys are so into chainsaw competition. It's like they were born for this. And I'm like, that's why I was watching it, though. Like, if Gina was like, hey, we're going to watch chainsaw competition on YouTube, I would be like, okay. Like, I mean, I have a chainsaw, but I'm not like into, like, not like this is my love of life. It's like, I'm grateful to have a chainsaw because you need it, you know, if a tree. But I think that's really important. That was my big lesson, is I just realized there's nobody can compete with me, because not like there's other numerologists and astrologers and yoga teachers. I'm sharing my stuff because I love it. And you guys, I think, are doing that too. Like the podcast, and, you know, people feel it. People just want to be a part of, for that short time, whether they're coming to your yoga class or doing a session with you. I took an acting class and it kind of changed my life, and I wasn't trying to be an actor. This acting teacher is like kind of really known in LA, and they coach a lot of A-list actors and stuff, but they just love this so much that I participated in that for 6 hours of class once a week. And she was so wise.
Mm.
And I didn't even want to be an actor. I was getting something out of it.
Mm.
So I think we all can do well this year if we really let go. But when you're green with envy, when you're competing, when you're comparing yourself, you're losing sight of what you have, and people will subconsciously pick up on you're being disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
So teach the stuff you love.
Yeah.
Teach the stuff you love. Mm. Thank you for that teaching.
Spiritorious. My life path number is also 7. So
oh, yeah.
Does that mean like I get a double effect from the 7?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
How can I embrace?
That's a great question. Overall, simply, yeah, you get a double whammy there. But it also means that you have more experience with the number. You've been, so when you do a numerology chart, and of course, no matter, I don't have a 7 in my numerology, but I'm using 7, right? I still use that energy in my life. But those numbers show where you have a tendency and you have a relationship. And so you already have a relationship. So that means you can really go into this year. And then your life path is the number that's like your path in life. Like you need to be doing things that are elevating others, elevating yourself, making the world in your own way a nicer, more beautiful, brighter place. So however that could be, whether you're a therapist or a, you know, an interior designer, or you're podcasting and teaching yoga. So yeah, I feel like it's a double whammy. You're going to have more of it, and you can accomplish more of those lessons, if you will. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I look at the number, even though they hold a vibration and a frequency, they're reminders of spiritual lessons and spiritual teachings. Okay, let's apply this. But it is amazing to see how much comes to fruition based on the changing numerology.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I really go for the 7 thing. This is your year, extra your year. And it's also would imply that it'll be a little easier for you to sort of navigate it and figure it out.
I feel like I sometimes fall into the negative sides of the 7, like overextending myself or forgetting about my own needs from time to time.
Yeah.
I'm falling into that trap.
Mm.
You know, please, everyone be mindful. When I have private sessions with people, I see that almost every time with 7s. Now, I've learned a lot about 7 people just because my wife has a 7 soul. And I definitely see where she really does want to help everybody.
Mm.
And then at some level becomes a little bit beholden to too much because she's just trying to help. So, you know, be smart and recognize where you're just overextending yourself, because then you'll just sort of burn out and then you can't help anybody.
Yeah.
So just know, because 7 is kind of an innocent. It's a little bit innocent. It's a little sweet. You're not going to, you know, it's just like, I kind of joke. I feel like I maybe wrote it in the books, but it's like, you know, you may have like a good friend of yours is moving and they need some help packing. And then your other, you know, someone in your family needs a ride to the doctors. And then your other friend needs a shoulder to cry on, but it's all at 2 p.m. on Thursday. And you just said yes to everybody, you know, and you're like, wait, I can't. So you got to have something huge to be mindful of, because you're really going to, 7 is so sensitive that it can deplete you. It can take things away. It's the energy of an empath, and an empath feels everything and wants to make it nicer, but it can also just start wearing away at you.
Mm.
It's the aura, and the aura is our little personal energy zone. We have to keep that fortified, because when that's fortified, then we could just help a lot more people.
Yes. Can you talk a little bit more about the aura then? How can we strengthen the aura for this year? Because I feel that's really, really important, because as you say, 7 is such an empathic and sensitive number. And a lot of us out there, we are very sensitive. So it's really important to work with the aura and strengthen the aura.
1,000,000%. So we're talking about the aura, those of you listening, because it's attributed, the number 7, the numbers have what's called a yogic body. So the yogic body is the aura, and the aura is like our immediate energy field. You know, believe it or not, I feel like most people can read auras. Not like maybe you don't see the colors emanating out and glowing off the person, but people get a sense of people's vibes. And that a lot of that's held in the aura. But think of the aura as this energy field that emanates from us, and it can expand out to about 9-ish feet. Some auras are even bigger, but that is also our little protective zone. But that means everything, where you're going, what you're intermingling with, what you're touching, who you're mingling with, people, part of your energy does rub off, and other people's energies rub off on you. Now, if there's a lot of sort of holes, if you will, and that energy isn't that expanded, you're going to be more susceptible to everyone else rubbing off on you, right? I think we've all experienced like going to an event or maybe a party or like a bad work situation, and you just feel like crap afterwards and super drained. That's often you have gotten and absorbed too much of other people's auras and their little energy. It's their little signature energy imprint. So if they're in a bad mood, they're a stressed person, just sort of bad vibe, you're going to be way more sensitive to all of that. You're going to be way more sensitive to your surroundings. And so what can happen is two things. One, you become so sensitive to your surroundings that you can't really, you can only be like, you know, those people are like, I can only live in the country. And they go into a city and they can't handle it. And like, you got to be able to do all of it. And so when your aura is strong, you're fine. You're not getting affected so much. So you can be an empath and you can be sensitive and you can understand and have that love and compassion, but everyone else's crap doesn't have to rub off on you. Now, the things that really affect the aura are what we consume. So of course, consuming good things, having a vigorous sort of meditative practice, those things really help. But if you don't even want to get into that kind of stuff, your diet, it really comes down to like diet, what you're consuming, what you're absorbing, like media wise, right? If you're watching like really creepy, weird, dark horror shows, real life crime shows, and drinking, you know, soda all day, sugar really can affect the aura. And again, each person is more sensitive to certain things. You know, certainly there are people that can go out and have a drink, but like alcohol, drugs, they really can open up holes in your aura. And some people are fine. They, you know, they have a few drinks. If your aura is already strong and you work on maintaining it, you know, whatever, having a soda or a glass of wine or some junk food or something, it's not going to crush you. But some people get crushed. And not to get too dark here, but the seven energy, you can be so vulnerable. As this is where on a darker side, I see where people like entities kind of take people over, possession, those types of things. So not like, oh, you have a seven, you're going to be possessed, but like that means somebody else's energy or some other entity, you can be sort of possessed just by someone else's opinion or like, how many times, like so many people have been maybe in a work situation where their boss, they've given way too much authority and on some level allowed themselves to be stepped on. And it doesn't have to be dark and weird and bad. It's just, you never really got that raise. You're overworking because you say yes to everything and because you think you're helping. So, but keep your aura vital. And more important too is just keep it vital. So it's a great year to really get like what you eat and consume really on par. And I don't think there's like the one diet for everybody. Like not everyone has to be a vegan juice drinker only. Exactly. Or something. Yeah. So it kind of is a time to clean up your act, get straight on what are healthy and vital foods for you. And you know, if you are drinking or you do drugs and things like that, like just know this isn't from a moral point of view. This is just the reality is it'll take its toll on your energy field. And when you're less empowered, other entities and weird energies and other people, they can kind of manipulate and control you more, even when they're not trying to.
Mm.
Isn't it also about to find out what's right for you, to what's charged your aura?
Completely, because that's the deeper lesson of seven is self-worth and self-value. You also get a deeper, oh, this works for me, right? And I've tried all sorts of like diet things, especially in LA. People are like diet obsessed, vegan, this or not. Or I know people that are carnivore only.
Yeah.
Like they only eat meat. And I'm like, I've read stuff where for certain medical things and conditions and skin and other things for a short time, that can be beneficial. But to all of a sudden be like, I will only eat meat and that's it. And I'm not even going to have a vegetable. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you're going to get scurvy. I don't know. Maybe that works. Right. So you got to like be a little in touch. And sometimes you try things out. Like, you know what? We're all probably going to overindulge in something this year. I've definitely, I've literally woken up with sugar hangovers because I'm at an event. I don't drink alcohol. So then, like, the opportunity to, like, eat snacks while people are socializing or whatever, like, it's an easy go-to. And then I'm like, oh, I just had, like, six cookies or something. And it's the end of the world. Not a big deal. Even if you have an alcohol hangover, like it fades, you know, just keep yourself vital. Keep adding more good things like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like we were saying, Emma, you got to learn what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I can't go around saying, don't drink, don't eat a bag of Doritos. Like you're going to be fine, you know, like, and anything in moderation. But, I wish I was one of those people that was less affected, or I could eat anything and just never gain weight or something. That's always my joke to myself. Like when people are like, if you had a superpower, what would it be? I'd either love to be like amazing at playing all instruments and singing, or I'd love to be able to eat anything and have it not affect
me. Yeah, that's a nice superpower.
Such a great superpower. You know? Spiritarius. Oh, this has been such a lovely conversation. I feel like we could just go on and on and on. We don't want to keep
it. We probably could. Well,
yeah, I think so too. I just realized that we haven't mentioned tarot that much. So I was just wondering, I know that, you know, in the workshop you go through a lot of cards and it's like, you know, their connections with each other and everything, but do you have one card or some, you know, like cards and tarot and the tarot so that we could just mention here for the 7 year that we could look into and that people can work with?
Yeah. So a lot of people get confused by this because they don't go as deep or work with tarot. I'm not saying, oh, I know the most. It's just how it was taught to me. And so the major arcana, I go by the numerical value based on the Hebrew letter. And so the Hebrew letter that equals seven is the letter Zayin, and that's the lover's card, which also feels really right because it's social, it's coming together. I'm pulling it out, actually. I always have a tarot deck in front of me. And this is coming together with people. So talk about elevating. It's coming together to elevate, to create a new situation. So it's sort of this idea of marriage, meaning what are partnerships that come together to make better opportunities? Mm. And so I would look at the lover's card and then look at all of the sevens of the tarot. Yep. So there's a seven of wands, a seven of cups, a seven of this, a seven of swords. Now those are, except for the seven of wands, they're kind of quote negative cards. I think I even joked in the workshop. I was like, oh, these cards kind of suck. But really, I mean, I'm spoofing it a little bit. The thing is about the quote negative cards of the tarot, they're really lessons. They're powerful, deep lessons to think about. And the seven of wands, which is this energy of valor, is like, maybe you're not the deeper lesson there. I'm trying to see if I can find it, but the deeper lesson is, you know what, that's showing up and giving it your best shot and being as honest and sort of vulnerable maybe it's not as perfect as your ego and your mind is telling you, but it's about like, just start putting your real and true and sort of pure self out there and do the right thing for the right reason. Things can work out. Now, the Seven of Cups is called the illusory success. And so it's where we sort of see things outside of ourselves that we think, let's envy, right? I'm comparing myself, or I need a new shiny diamond that I'm going to go broke paying for. So it's about like letting go of the things and recognizing the things that really aren't successful for you, but they appear to be, right? So it's like really about letting go of illusion. The Seven of Swords is futility. It's unstable. And the deeper lesson, and look at these cards, whatever tarot deck you use, they're all or should convey the same concept. The Seven of Swords is like, sometimes maybe you're just, you keep trying things and it's not working out. It may be a lesson to just let it go and move on. Yeah. As we say here, and then just throw in the towel and move on. And so what things frustrating, futile, where do you keep trying something that's not working out? Because you are fooled by that you think it really serves a purpose for you. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
It's a lot of it's just our thinking and our ego. And then the Seven of Discs is unfulfilled success. So it's where you make things too hard. Like, look at the card here. It's just like, I know that people listening can't see it, but it's just dark. It's heavy. It's a burden. And it's like when you're trying to make things happen. So sometimes you might just be putting too much effort, too much energy, and you're making it too heavy, and you're making your goal too heavy and too hard. And it's time to step back and look at that. And maybe it's hard because you're not valuing yourself. You need a raise. And that's the lesson of, you're not getting a raise. You're overworking and you're making yourself miserable. So the seven cards, and it, part of it is because the seven is such a vulnerable and sweet and lovey energy. Sometimes it's a challenging energy in the world as we know it, which is a little chaotic. On some level, dangerous. And then we're always having to do things to like maintain, to get ahead, to make money, to pay. Like, it's not always like we have to utilize all these tools and we have to be capable. And seven energy just wants to frolic around kind of naked and cozy. And, you know, it's like, you know, you're not going to walk around, you're not going to show up to the office like in your bathrobe. Or in an evening gown. And that's what seven wants to do. On one level, it just wants to linger and find fabrics and relax and drink a cozy cup of tea, you know, with like your partner. But we can keep that feeling and protect ourselves. That's why it's the aura. You can keep vulnerable and cozy and, you know, warm cup of tea with your lover feeling into everything that we're doing. You just, you know, you got to still dress the part. And so that's where that we learn a lot, and why the seven in the tarot, the seven cards seem negative. It's just because it's such a vulnerable energy. It doesn't always mix the right way, and sometimes what you have to do in the world. Spiritorious, spiritorious,
spiritorious, spiritorious. So just to summarize, thank you so much for Remington, for all of your wisdom and sharing all of your wisdom with us. This has been such a beautiful and giving, and you know, like, yeah, it's an amazing episode.
So generous of you.
So generous, and we're so grateful.
My honor.
So, and just to summarize, it's like the year of elevation, prosperity, and Remington, you will come back to us and talk about prosperity and money later on this year.
It's a prosperity book, so I would love to do that. I can't wait.
Exactly. And your prosperity book will be out in May, and we will also do an episode then, so you will all get the link to the book and everything. And we will also put a link to the, if it's possible somehow, put a link where you can purchase the 7-year workshop if you want to go even deeper into these subjects.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, it's on my website. If you don't find it, just reach out, but it should pop right up there. That would be wonderful. Because a lot of, I really tried to design that workshop, the yearly workshop, like it's valid all year. And it's actually something good to sort of look back on, especially if you're like, what the heck am I doing? But everything we said too, and those key words are a good sort of guiding light, if you will.
Yeah. Because, and I can just say that I actually listened back to the 6-year workshop quite late this year. I listened to it when you released it in the beginning of the year, but it was really good to also listen to this to it again by the end of the year and just check, you know, like, okay, so these were the energies. This is how it unfolded in my life. This is what I did. This was my, so that was really interesting. So it's true that you can always go back and listen to that. And it's, and also get, you know, the general meaning of the numbers, because they're always with us. Even though it's not a 7-year, seven will keep on, you know, showing up in so many different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's really good to reflect or to check in with it towards the end, because like right now, we're a couple of days in, I'm already like, everyone's moved on and they're ready for, you know, the next thing. I'm like, this is all year, guys. Like,
yeah,
we're
exactly.
So used to like...
Well, it all year. Spirit.
Is it okay if I share the mottos that you write in your book for this year?
Oh, yes, share anything, please. That would be great. Yeah, you can share anything in the book.
I just wanted to read that. It's from your numerology book, and we'll link to that too. It's victory, of course. Elevate and celebrate. I am safe and secure. And prosperity is time, love, and money.
Exactly. Well, it's been wonderful. Happy New Year again.
New Year.
I can't wait to connect in May.
Yeah. So
beautiful.
So nice.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Remington. And we will link to all of the places where people can find you and your services.
Thanks, Josephina. Thanks, Emma.
Thank you. Happy 7-year, everybody.
Yes.